Chapter 18. A week later, they reached the Sabi River. The mountains on the far side were blue-grey with distance, and the river was full, brown and full. The next morning was fresh and cool from the night's rain. The camp smelt of wood smoke, cattle, and wild mimosa. From one of the ostrich eggs that Ember Janey had found the day before, Katrina made an omelette the size of a soup plate. It was flavoured with nutmeg and chunks of mushroom, yellow and rich. Afterwards there were scones and wild honey, coffee, and a cheroot for Sean.
"Are you going out today?" Katrina asked.
"Uh-huh."
"Oh.
Don't you want me to go?"
"You haven't stayed in camp for a week."
"Don't you want me to go?"
She stood up quickly and started clearing the table.
"Anyway, you won't find any elephant. You haven't found anything for ages."
"Do you want me to stay?"
"It's such a lovely day."
She sighed to Candler to take the plates away.
"If you want me to stay, ask me properly."
"We could look for mushrooms."
"Say it," said Sean.
"All right, then. Please."
"Ember Janey, take the saddle off that horse. I won't be using him."
Katrina laughed. She ran to her wagon, skirts swirling around her legs, calling to the dogs. She came back with her bonnet on and a basket in her hand. The dogs crowded round them, jumping up and barking.
"Go on, seek up then," Sean told them, and they raced ahead, circling back, barking, chasing one another.
Sean and Katrina walked, holding hands. The brim of Katrina's bonnet kept her face in shadow, but even then her eyes, when she looked at him, were bright and green. They picked the new mushrooms, round and hard, brown and slightly sticky on top, fluted underneath delicately as a lady's fan. In an hour they had filled the basket, and they stopped under a marula tree. Sean lay on his back. Katrina broke off a blade of grass and tickled his face with it until he caught her wrist and pulled her down onto his chest. The dogs watched them, sitting around them in a circle, their tongues hanging out, pink and wet.
"There's a place in the Cape, just outside Paarl. The mountains stand over it, and there's a river. The water's very clear. You can see the fish lying on the bottom," said Katrina.
Her ear was against his chest, and she was listening to his heart.
"Would you buy me a farm there one day?"
"Yes," said Sean.
"We'll build a house with a wide veranda, and on Sundays we'll drive to church with the girls and the little ones in the back, and the bigger boys riding next to the buggy."
"How many will there be?"
asked Sean. He lifted the side of her bonnet and looked at her ear. It was a very pretty ear. In the sunlight he could see the fine fur on the lobe.
"Oh, lots. Boys mostly, but a few girls."
10, suggested Sean.
"More than that."
15?
"Yes, 15.
They lay and thought about it. To Sean it seemed a fairly well-rounded number.
"And I'll keep chickens. I want lots of chickens."
"All right," said Sean.
"You don't mind?"
"Should I?"
"Some people mind chickens. Some people don't like them at all," said Katrina.
"I'm glad you don't mind them.
I've always wanted them."
Stealthily, Sean advanced his mouth towards her ear, but she felt him move and sat up.
"What are you doing?"
"This," said Sean, and his arm shot out.
"No, Sean, they're watching us."
She waved her hand at the dogs.
"They'll understand," said Sean. And then they were both quiet for a long time. The dogs burst out together in full hunting chorus. Katrina sat up, and Sean turned his head and saw the leopard. It stood 50 yards away on the edge of the thick bush along the river bank, watching them. Poised elegantly in tights of black and gold, long and small-bellied. It moved then, blurring with speed, touching the ground as lightly as a swallow touches the water when it drinks in flight. The dogs went after it in a pack, Thief leading them, his voice cracking with excitement.
"Back! Come back!" shouted Sean. "Leave it, damn you! Come back!"
"Stop them, Sean. Go after them. We'll lose them all."
"Wait here," Sean told her. He ran after the sound of the pack, not shouting, saving his wind. He knew what would happen, and he listened for it. He heard the tone of the hunt change, sharper now. Sean stopped and stood, panting, peering ahead. The dogs were not moving. The sound of their barking was steady in volume.
"The swine has stopped. He's going to take them."
He started running again, and almost immediately heard the first dog scream. He kept running. He found the dog lying where the leopard had flung it. The old bitch with white ears, her stomach, was stripped out. Sean went on. The tan ridgeback next, disemboweled, still alive and crawling to meet him. He ran on. Always the hunt was out of sight ahead of him, but he kept after it. He no longer stopped to help the dogs that had been mauled. Most of them were dead before he reached them. The saliva thickened in his mouth. His heart jumped against his ribs, and he reeled as he ran. Suddenly he was in the open, and the hunt was spread out before him. There were 3 dogs left. One of them was Thief. They were circling the leopard, belling him, darting in at his back legs, snapping, then jumping back as the leopard spun, snarling. The grass was short and green in the clearing. The sun was directly overhead. It threw no shadow. It lit everything with a flat, even light. Sean tried to shout, but his throat wouldn't let the sound out. The leopard dropped onto its back and lay with the sprawled grace of a sleeping cat, its legs open and its belly exposed. The dogs hung back, hesitating. Sean shouted again, but his voice still would not carry. That creamy yellow belly, soft and fluffy, was too much temptation. One of the dogs went for it, dipping its head, its mouth open. The leopard closed on it like a spring trap. It caught and held the dog with its front paws, and its back legs worked quickly. The dog yammered at the swift, surgeon strokes. Then it was thrown aside, its bowels hanging out. The leopard relaxed again to show the yellow bait of its belly. Sean was close now, and this time the 2 dogs heard his shout. The leopard heard it also. It flashed to its feet and tried to break, but the instant it turned, Thief was at it, slashing at its back legs, forcing it to swing and crouch. "Here, boy, leave him! Here, Thief! Come here!" Thief took Sean's shout as encouragement. He danced just out of reach of the flicking paws, shrilly taunting the leopard. The hunt was finally balanced now. Sean knew if he could get the dogs to slacken their attack, the leopard would run. He went forward a pace, stooped to pick up a stone to throw at Thief, and his movement tipped the balance. When he straightened up, the leopard was watching him, and he felt the eel of fear move in his stomach. It was going to come for him. He knew it by the way its ears flattened against its head and its shoulders bunched like loaded springs. Sean dropped the stone and reached for the knife on his belt. The leopard's lips peeled back. Its teeth were yellow. Its head, with the ears flattened, was like a snake's. It came fast and low against the ground, brushing the dogs aside. Its run was long-reaching, smoothly beautiful. It snaked towards him, fast over the short grass. It came into the air, lifting high, very fast and very smoothly. Sean felt the shock and the pain together. The shock threw him backwards, and the pain sucked the breath from his lungs. Its claws hooked into his chest. He felt them scrape his ribs. He held its mouth from his face, his forearm against its throat, and he smelt the overripe, grave smell of its breath. They rolled together in the grass, its front claws still holding in the flesh of his chest, and he felt its back legs coming up to rake his stomach. He twisted desperately to keep clear of them, using his knife at the same time, slipping the blade into its back. The leopard screamed. Its back legs came up again. He felt the claws go into his hip and tear down his thigh. The pain was deep and strong, and he knew he was badly hurt. The legs came up again. This time they would kill him. Thief locked his teeth in the leopard's leg before the claws could catch in Sean's flesh. He dragged back, digging in with his front feet, holding the leopard stretched out across Sean's body. Sean's vision was dissolving into blackness and bright lights. He pushed the knife into the leopard's back, close to the spine, and pulled it down between the ribs, the way a butcher cuts a chop. The leopard screamed again, with its body shuddering and its claws curling in Sean's flesh. Sean cut again, deep and long, and again, then again. Tearing at it, mad with pain, its blood gushed out and mixed with his, and he rolled away from it. The dogs were worrying it, growling. It was dead. Sean let the knife slip out of his hand and touched the tears in his leg. The blood was dark red, pouring with the thickness of treacle, much blood. He was looking down a funnel of darkness. The leg was far away. Not his. Not his leg. "Gary," he whispered. "Gary. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I slipped. I didn't mean it. I slipped." The funnel closed, and there was no leg, only darkness. Time was a liquid thing. All the world was liquid, moving in darkness. The sun was dark, and only the pain was steady, steady as a rock in the dark moving sea. He saw Katrina's face, indistinct in the darkness. He tried to tell her how sorry he was. He tried to tell her it was an accident, but the pain stopped him. She was crying. He knew she would understand, so he went back into the dark sea. Then the surface of the sea boiled, and he choked in the heat, but always the pain was there, like a rock to hold on to. The steam from the sea coiled up around him, and it hardened into the shape of a woman, and he thought it was Katrina. Then he saw its head was a leopard's head, and its breath stank like the rotting of a gangrenous leg.
"I don't want you. I know who you are," he shouted at it. "I don't want you. It's not my child."
And the thing broke into steam, twisting grey steam, and came back gibbering at him on a chain that tinkled, frothing yellow from the grey misty mouth, and terror came with it. He twisted and covered his face, holding on to the pain, for the pain was real and steady. Then, after 1,000 years, the sea froze, and he walked on it, and the white ice stretched away wherever he looked. It was cold and lonely on the ice. There was a small wind, a cold, small wind. The wind whispered across the ice, and its whispering was a sad sound. And Sean held his pain, hugging it close to him, for he was lonely, and only the pain was real.
Then there were other figures moving around him on the ice, dark figures all hurrying one way, crowding him, pushing him along with them. And he lost his pain, lost it in the desperate hurrying press. And though they had no faces, some of the figures wept, and others laughed. And they hurried forward until they came to the place where the crevasse split across the ice in front of them. The crevasse was wide and deep, and its sides were white, then pale green shading to blue, and at last to infinite blackness. And some of the figures threw themselves joyfully into it, singing as they fell. Others clung to edges, their formless faces full of fear, and still others stepped off into the void, tiredly, like travellers at the end of a long journey. When Sean saw the crevasse, he began to fight, throwing himself back against the crowd that bore him forward, carrying him to the edge of the pit, and his feet slid over the edge. He clawed with his fingers at the slippery edge of the ice. He fought, and he shouted as he fought, for the last drop sucked at his legs. Then he lay quietly, and the crevasse had closed, and he was alone. He was tired, wasted and terribly tired. He shut his eyes, and the pain came back to him, throbbing softly in his leg. He opened his eyes and saw Katrina's face. She was pale, and her eyes were big and heavily underscored in blue. He tried to lift his hand to touch her face, but he couldn't move. "Katrina," he said. He saw her eyes go green with surprise and happiness. "You've come back. Oh, thank God. You've come back." Sean rolled his head and looked at the canvas of the wagon tent.
"How long?"
he asked. His voice was a whisper.
5 days. Don't talk, please. Don't talk."
Sean closed his eyes. He was very tired, so he slept.